If you're betting March Madness, you should be doing it at MyBookie. This is the best betting stretch of the year. Upsets, buzzer beaters, and if you're going to take your shot, you might as well take it where the payouts hit harder. Only at MyBookie, you've got the money bag. Money bag gives you boosted odds and juiced payouts on select games. Same picks, bigger potential returns. When you're staring at that Sweet 16 matchup or loading up a Final Four play, MyBookie can turn a good hit into a great one. This isn't the week to sit back and wait. Lines are moving, futures are tightening. The edge is right now. Head to mybookie.ag, use code NBASZN, and get your first bet covered up to $500. If it misses, just activate your bet back bonus token and run it back. March only comes once. Bet it smart, bet it big. Only at MyBookie.
Yes, sir. Just pulling up Bet365 here for the betting odds. So while you're following along, while you're listening to the podcast, whether you're driving, at a funeral, whatever you're at, just pull up Bet365 casually and follow along. All right. Make sure to go to the Hot Pass Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, leave a 5-star rating. Why? Because it helps out grow the podcast, gets me to more races. And helps me help you get better quality of a podcast, right? In the next few weeks, I'm going to try and plan on having a couple of people on the podcast, some guests for the betting show and for the recap show as well. And then we got content coming out in the next few weeks. So make sure to go to the Hot Pass Podcast on YouTube, like, share, subscribe to the podcast. All right. And then go to @EricFurlong21 on Instagram and then @FurlongEric__ on TikTok and Twitter/X. And an hour before every single truck race, Xfinity race, O'Reilly race, my bad. I really got to get used to that. I always post my full betting card. Okay. And I feel really good about going back to a traditional oval this weekend and hitting an absolute bag. We were at COTA last week. We hit 3 units over on the Action Network. Link is in the bio wherever you find me. We hit 3 units on the Cup Series and broke about even with Sammy Smith at +500 for a top 5. We're feeling really good. The Truck Series was a little nonsense. Didn't hit that at all. All right, should have gone on Lane Riggs. What am I, an idiot? Yes. Comment, call me an idiot, okay? That means I know you listened to this episode. All right. And then, Action Network link is in the bio. And that is it. That is all. Let's dive in. We got lots to talk about on this podcast. We're going to Phoenix, back to the traditional ovals. A lot of this betting show is going to be a lot of me talking about, well, you got to wait and see. The Cup Series, for the O'Reilly Series alone, we kind of know who's going to be good there, right? We got William Byron. Actually, let me pull up the list of drivers, what numbers are in, because this whole, we should really need to start talking about this Carson Quapple stuff. Where he's in the 1, then he's in the 91, and then when we go to Vegas, he's going to be in the 9, and then I'm assuming he's going to be back in the 1. Very confusing. So go on to my social medias. I'm going to put on a reel probably at some point next week leading up to Vegas, kind of hunting and searching for more answers. I understand sponsorship is one thing, but we were sold that he had sponsorship for the entire year. We did not know that he was not going to be in the number 1 the entire year, that we were sold, at least I thought, that he found the sponsorship, he's going to be in the 1 the whole year. Nope, then we find out he's going to be in the 91, now he's in the 9, and very confusing. My thought is one car is more expensive than the other. Because why would he be driving in the 9 and not just the 1, and put whoever is going to be driving in the 1 in the 9? Next, we'll talk about it leading up to Vegas. It's very confusing. I'm just pulling up Bob Pockers' Twitter here, so we kind of get to see who all is in the race. I don't think there's a lot of extras for the O'Reilly race this weekend, but while I'm scrolling here, shout out to Haley Deegan for getting a P11 in her first full ARCA series start. Obviously, she was racing in the ARCA Menards Series West, but in the actual main series at Phoenix, getting to P11, shouts out to her, back on it. People were talking shit that she was running P18. Well, she finished P11 just outside the top 10, so suck it, kids. The main one I want to talk about throughout this is Chandler Smith. Do not bet on him. He's in the five. Obviously he is. And then this is the part that's shitty for Ford drivers that are driving in the truck series. If you want to be able to get an O'Reilly series start, you got to go to cars like the five. And it's just booty cheeks. Obviously, the odds are really short on Chandler Smith this weekend because he's won here in a Joe Gibbs car, but they're just a tad bit longer than if he was in a Joe Gibbs Toyota. So I would just fade him, just avoid him like the plague. I feel like he's going to be back in that mix of drivers that I don't know if I really want to put money on a guy like that. And then obviously William Byron in the 88. We saw what the 88 can do here, which is Zilich. We saw what it can do last year with Zilich in the car across the whole race or the whole series, the whole year. And William Byron obviously going to be very good. I think that Alex Bowman was in this race last year. And at the end of the race, Eric Almirola gets into Alex Bowman coming off the final turn there. And Brandon Jones, we had Brandon Jones on a long number. This is when I started telling everybody Brandon Jones is going to be a threat at certain tracks throughout the year. He could be this weekend as well. Brandon Jones is really good here if you go look at his statistics. But yeah, like Brandon Jones could be in it. But I just want to touch on William Byron, and then we're back into it. Regular racing. But I want to talk about some things mainly before I start getting into the rest of the podcast, I guess. I don't know why I start diving into the bets when I want to talk about some stuff, and I have some stuff in the notes. So let's backtrack a little bit. My bad. I apologize. We're going to get into the bets. I've got some really good ones that I'm really excited about. That is going to be fun. You're going to be wanting to hear about it. But first thing I want to touch on, I'm kind of all over the place here, but first thing I want to touch on is the NASCAR Full Speed Amazon Prime Series that came out. At the time of the recording, this was on Thursday. Watched it, honestly, a lot better than the other ones. The other ones that, from Netflix seemed like obviously an introduction to NASCAR. And then for us longtime watchers and listeners of these obscure podcasts, you know what's going on in the track or at the races, and you know how it all works. And it was fun to see a full one for Daytona. It was great. Had no idea this was even being filmed. They kept it pretty tight-lipped, I feel. At least for me, I had no idea. Maybe it just didn't come up in my algorithm at some point, but I thought it was great. The only issue, and Carson Hocevar has commented on Jeff Gluck's Twitter account, is had a tough time finding it. Not going to lie. It was not on my homepage, at least here in Canada. I don't know about you guys in the States or wherever you guys are listening to this. Had a hell of a time finding. Had to go to the search bar, typed in NASCAR. It didn't come up. And then I had to type in full speed, and then it came up. So not a good start by Amazon, really having just a horrible day of a release of such a great show, an hour and a half, 88 minutes to be exact. Really engaging, hearing beautiful stories about Brad, because like, or not beautiful, but like heartfelt stories about Noah Gragson's dad, which I've known about for a long time now. Really sad, and it really shows what Noah's going through on a weekly basis. And you get more of a step into his life. Brad Keselowski and the rehab he's had to go through. And a couple of other drivers, obviously, as well. It was great, but having to search and hunt for it, not good by Amazon, man. I mean, I remember on Netflix, it was the first thing that popped up. Boom. Right when you open up the Netflix app on your TV or your phone, and Amazon just fucking botched that one. I went to Amazon Original Series. I went to all the Amazon Series. Because I was like, well, it was started on Netflix, so it's not really an original series. And still nothing. So just dropped the ball on that one. But the Noah Gragson stuff is like super, super sad. Obviously, way more sad for the person that lost their lives at the hands of Noah Gragson's father and his DUI. Horrible. But it just shows that something so disgusting can hurt both sides, right? Now you have a son without his father for a long time. I think his dad's still serving quite a few years still in a Nevada prison. So I never saw the body cam footage, the brief body cam footage of how hammered he was. I'm sure I know you guys can all Google, you can go and Google his arrest report or whatever, or like the news outlet or whatever that covered it all. And, it is pretty disgusting what he did, but, obviously Noah's mom, I've met her. She's a sweetheart, a very kind woman. She's a great time when you do get to hang out with her and her friends. And, you know, that is a beautiful family, and one big mistake shook him to the core. And, I'm sure his dad is learning his lesson, and because his family and his son and his wife are really I can't remember if Noah's got a sister or not, but he they're really taking a hell of a gut punch for the last few years since 2019. So really sucks for him, and I'm seeing what Brad Keselowski looking like a pimp with that limp. And that cane, I fucking love that shit. And the people on the other side of the wall are screaming again. Again, it's Thursday, but golly. Anywho, Alex Bowman, let's move on to this. Alex Bowman diagnosed with vertigo. Anthony Alfredo will drive his car. So obviously he's got the waiver or whatever for at least one race, I would assume, right? What is vertigo? I know it's something from spinning. Or you feel spinach. Yeah, vertigo is a sensation of spinning, whirling, or tilting, often caused by inner ear issues like BPPV, or less commonly brain problems. Unlike simple dizziness, it's a symptom of an underlying condition that causes a false sense of motion, often leading to nausea and vomiting. That really sucks. I did want to know, and I still haven't really heard anything. I really didn't look it up, but like how AJ Allmendinger was feeling. I didn't really go hunting for it. So if anybody knows, let me know. Because I'll probably forget. I got too many things on my mind. And Alex Bowman obviously having problems. Like that was a hot race, man. I wonder if that's kind of what caused it, is how hot it was in the car. And if his cool suit was not working, but... That really does suck for him. So yeah, Anthony Alfredo's in the car. So that'll be interesting to see. Carson, one of the biggest news, and then just kind of like slipped on by, is Carson Hocevar might be getting sponsored, and it probably is by the sounds of it. If I'm not mistaken, it was Jeff Gluck that might have reported on it, or Adam Stern. Somebody reported on. I wish I could give him credit, but they reported. They know somebody close to Monster, and they said that they're probably going to be signing Carson Hocevar. Huge deal. And people will be like, oh, look at their lineup. You've got Riley Herbst and Ty Gibbs. Well, Carson Hocevar is already, like, the paint scheme ain't going to change nothing. And obviously you see like Beast Unleashed and Monster come off of Tyler Reddick's car, and all of a sudden it's just a silly little circumstance, right? It's not going to take any of the speed away from Carson Hocevar, so, and any of the talent. What is going on at my near my place? People banging on walls and shit. Don't make me come out there. Swear to God, people. Swear to God, don't make me come out there. I'll fucking lose my goddamn marbles. This is how many weeks in a row I got till April 30th, and I'm out of this spot. I've actually, a little update quick before I dive into more Carson Hocevar stuff. I actually found a place in the same building as mine, same layout, just no island. I'll probably buy an island. I'm hoping to snag that. I'm going to go look at it in the next week or so, and hopefully it's still available. It's just up a few floors from me. Perfect. That's exactly what I want, because all the other places I've been looking at are way too small. I would not be able to have a good, solid podcast setup, so... I'm really rooting for this, and I don't want to move out of this building, because I really truly do love living in this building. So, back to Hocevar. Having Monster as a sponsor would be amazing, and Monster really does want to be in this sport. Like, I don't know how the finance is laid out with Beast Unleashed and Monster with Reddick. I don't know any of that stuff. I do have friends that work for the for those companies and some acquaintances. I don't ask about that stuff. It is very interesting to see that they just. I do understand though that sponsorship kind of had to come in late because of the whole lawsuit and everything throughout the off season. So maybe Monster like was just like we found somebody else, or we're talking to other people, or we're gonna take our money somewhere else because it's not guaranteed you're even gonna have a ride, and so. I feel like a lot of those sponsorships had to come off. Like one of the most iconic paint schemes and one of the most iconic names in motorsports or extreme sports is Monster Energy. Any of the energy drinks, Red Bull, Monster, Rockstar, they're a staple in motorsports and as well as extreme sports. So having that on your name, I'm sure like, you know, Connor Zilich being with Red Bull, one of the most prestigious out of the main two, Monster and Red Bull, is huge for your brand and getting placed all over the place. Like we see Connor Zilch like Max Verstappen and stuff. Like that is huge for your brand, for your branding. So great for Carson Hocevar. I hope that does happen because that would be sick. Hopefully they get some actually really really cool merch. And when I was watching back, just off to another point. When I was watching back this the fall race or whatever for Phoenix, Brad Keselowski, how did he not win this race? Like, brother, what the hell were you doing on that final lap? Like, the last half, the last turn, okay? Just, I don't know if he drove it in too deep, and he obviously got, like, super loose, and Ryan Blaney just drives on by him, wins the race. Go watch it back. You're just like, what the fuck? Imagine having outright on Brad Keselowski. You're like, I got it. And then they like obviously pan away because they want to show Kyle Larson winning the championship, which is still a bogus fucking championship. Subtle this. And you go, wait, what? How did Blaney win? Like you had to, I remember going, what? And then I was obviously distraught that Denny Hamlin didn't win because of all that nonsense, but very odd. One big thing we really got to talk about is Cletus McFarlane, man, and the number three. Cletus McFarlane and the number 33 RCR car for the O'Reilly series. All right. Obviously, everybody's been talking about it like crazy, given all their takes. Freddie Kraft put out rage baiting tweets. You love to see it. I mean, that's what he does. So whatever. But Cletus McFarlane and number 33. He's going to be racing at Rockingham and then Talladega and Daytona. So, boy, I have a lot to say about Corey Day. I think we're going to have to start being harsh on Cletus. He clipped the wall at Rockingham in his test or whatever to see if he can even run the truck race at Daytona. He's not going to run very well. He's going to be down a few laps. Don't put your money on it. Don't expect much. I would like to know, in my head, the first immediate thing I thought was, what would Greg Biffle be saying? And not in a negative, horrible way, I just want to say, like, Greg would have been like, I understand that this opportunity is here. I just feel like Greg would have said, let's slow it down. Slow it down. But I do also feel like Greg Biffle passing away and the story and everything that happened, I do feel like Richard Childress and RCR gave him this opportunity because of what has gone on, right? Ty Dillon and Austin Dillon gave him this opportunity because of the story that it all happened over the offseason and how tragic it was. So I feel like this probably wouldn't have came if it wasn't for that. So a lot of positives, a lot of negatives with this. I hope Cleet just minds his P's and Q's and doesn't overdrive the car like a Corey Day and just get the full race in, man. Just stay out of the way. We don't expect much. Just drive, man, and learn. I'm not going to be very harsh on him right now. I mean, if we go into Rockingham and he wrecks, then I feel like we're going to have to start really being harsh on it. Everybody else has kind of said their two cents. He went on to Dale Jr.'s podcast. I haven't actually listened to that yet. I'm not sure if Dale was a little, you know, a little bit critical with him and kind of hard pressing on him. But I could see him doing that. Dale doesn't really hold back, but I'm not necessarily sure if he did that or not. I doubt it, but it's a great opportunity for Cleet. And it kind of just falls into place as like a Tony Breitinger and you know, I mean, Travis Pastrana should be telling him too, is like, dude, just finish the race. Just drive around, get the experience. Somebody needs to be in his ear telling him that and like be hard pressed. Like just finish the race. Like he does in ARCA, like he just calmed down. Everything for the truck series is really hyped up and there's a lot going on. And then he learned his lesson. And then the ARCA race, he went back to just being chill, calm, Cletus, and just relaxing in the car and finishing the race. So I hope he does that. That's that. One thing I want to touch on, the last thing I want to touch on before the O'Reilly bets, as well as the Cup Series bets, is Danica Patrick being off of the Sky Sports F1 broadcast. I think this is really big news. Now, people are saying that she was canned because of her political beliefs, backing Donald Trump. Then it just came out actually before I stepped on here that she's also made a statement saying that she decided to leave. I think it's of a mix of three things. It's a mix of both of those, but as well as a lot of people were already calling for her job to get off of the Sky Sports F1 broadcast. They say that she served nothing. She gave us nothing, and it was just kind of bland material on the broadcast already. So then to also back Donald Trump when they're going to war, as well as her saying that she left, I think it's an accumulation of all three of those things. Eventually, I think she was going to get let go anyways, and it just so happens to be now. And I think that Danica Patrick, as she was a great IndyCar driver, didn't do much in NASCAR, obviously. We know all of the YouTube videos and compilations of her wrecks that are out there. You know, she's been successful for herself. She's a very attractive woman, and she'll still continue to do well in life. And maybe she'll get picked up somewhere else. I think in the Fox broadcast, do not come in there because we've had you before. Served us nothing. But to better endeavors for her, and I wish all the best. I just please do not come back into a NASCAR. Do not come and do the truck series. I want better broadcasting. So please don't do that. All right. Make sure to like, share, subscribe to the podcast on Hot Pass Podcast on YouTube. Leave a 5-star rating wherever you get your audio podcast. Let's get into the bets. All right. Let me get a sip of water. I got a big water jug this time. Don't want to leave it up on the table here. So just give me a good second. I'm going to get a good chug on. Fuck yeah. I'm going to a show tomorrow. I've never really listened to Bad Omens. Beartooth was my first. I don't know if you guys, a lot of you guys listen to metal or not, but I love metal. I listen to literally everything though. I'll go from One Direction, Backstreet Boys, over to like Kublai Khan, Texas, Turnstile, to like, you know, Coolio, Run the Jewels, then back to fucking Justin Bieber. You know, I listen to everything. But I never really listened to Bad Omens. Kind of makes me feel like a Bring Me the Horizon. But Beartooth was my first ever concert. If you guys go check out them, the song In Between is a great song. It's one of my all-time favorite Beartooth songs, if not the best song. They're touring with Bad Omens, and I haven't seen them since I was like 17, 18 years old. So going to the show in Toronto tomorrow, so I'm not having an alcoholic beverage. I'm saving it for then. So just got to stay hydrated, get lots of liquids into me before we start slamming back some beverages on the train down to Toronto, and then relaxing at my friend's place for the night overnight. Let's get into the bets. Okay. Watching back the O'Reilly Series races for at least the last 2 years, obviously we see Justin Allgaier out there, right? I kind of usually like to go through, now that we're back to traditional ovals, I like to go through and just tell you guys who's near the end of qualifying. We obviously talked about that Chandler Smith is in the number 5. We've got William Byron in the 88. Obviously, William Byron is going to be out front all fucking day. The only way he loses a spot is because of pit road. But near the end, I just like to tell you guys the last few drivers that are going out for qualifying, because if you like them and they're going out late in qualifying, they're probably going to be inside that top 10. And those odds, especially if they start inside the top five, and especially if they start inside the top three, those lines are going to get shorter. Obviously, I'll read off from anybody outside the top 20 here or whatever. It's real noticeable. Not really. Okay, so let's do this. Carson Kwapel is in the one car this week, and he's starting at 24. He's going out 24th. But let's start here. 28th, Brandon Jones. Then it goes Sam Mayer, Taylor Gray, Brent Cruz, Brendan Poole. Shouts a hit to him in that top 10. Touched on that on the Tuesday show. William Sawalich, then Sheldon Creed, Raja Carruth. Big note there. He is in the 32 Jordan Anderson car this weekend. I'm not betting on him. There's actually like a head-to-head I did not take because there's a little juice, but it was William Sawalich over Raja Carruth. Kind of like that, but I don't like the price at minus 140. If you guys got in on that earlier, good for you, because that I feel like that's a bit of a lock just because of the way the Jordan Anderson cars, just they race and the speed that they have compared to that that 18 car, right? Sheldon Creed going out 34th. I said, and then I said Raja Allgaier, Corey Day, Sammy Smith, Jesse Love, and Austin Hill. So I like to just talk about those because those lines might get shorter. You got to look out big guys right near the end. Sheldon Creed is going to qualify probably really well. William Sawalich as well, probably. He very well could put it on the pole. He'll be, honestly, I do think that William Sawalich or Brandon Jones will be inside that top five looking for the pole. They're going to put down a hell of a lap. I'm going to talk about William Sawalich in a minute. And then Corey Day, Jesse Love is probably going to possibly lay down like a hell of a lap. He's very good here. But let's get into my bets here, all right? Justin Allgaier going to be very good. I'm not taking him. The lines just are too short. William Byron as well. I'm just playing it safe. We're going to go probably for some more positional bets. I'm obviously, remember this, it's the first oval that we're at this year. We're going to see actual first speed. The first bit of speed that we're going to get, I think that I was touching on that earlier, is a lot of this. Yeah, I'm going to finish my thought from earlier. Now I'm bringing it back, ADHD mind, clicking it. This is the first, I'm not going to bet too much early on because in the Cup Series, obviously, horsepower has changed because we're on a short track. I want to see who shows up that's got a lot of speed. So we're taking small bets and then obviously going to have to pay attention to the Action Network over the weekend as well as my betting card and my thoughts on Twitter and Instagram leading up to the O'Reilly race. The O'Reilly race, obviously, we know who's going to be good here. It is Justin Allgaier. It is William Byron. It is Jesse Love. So you can kind of be more predictable when it comes to the O'Reilly race. But just that Cup race has got me thinking and just waiting and seeing because of that new package that we have with the horsepower. And I think they said the fall New Hampshire race, if I'm not mistaken, the Martinsville race, possibly that tire combo that they used, they're going to bring, or maybe it was the Spring Bristol, I can't remember, but they're bringing a tire that they used back in the last year at certain short tracks to this race. So there is that predictability with at least the tire, but the speed with the horsepower is definitely going to take apart. But the O'Reilly series alone is a little bit more predictable. Let's dive into it here. First off, Harrison Burton at plus 250 for a top 10 on the score. The score, if I'm not mistaken, is like ESPN bet or something like that or whatever in the States. Harrison Burton has not finished the best here in recent years, but we're looking for a top 10. And at plus 250, he is in, okay, last year in the fall race, he finished 11th, started 12th in the number 25. What the hell's the team's name? AM Racing Car. Okay. 20th in the spring. First race there with AM Racing. Super early on, it was their first oval, actual cookie cutter oval. So I didn't expect much. Previous to that, with Joe Gibbs Racing in the number 20, third, 12th, sixth, and second. Now, my case is throughout the race last year, Dean Thompson, not as talented as Harrison Burton when it comes to the O'Reilly series, but he's had some top 10 finishes and was ringing them off last year. A little bit more predictable. I can see that there is speed in those cars when Dean Thompson was clicking off top 10s. And if Dean Thompson can click off top 10s on certain tracks, he didn't do it at Phoenix, but at one point was running inside the top 10, the very beginning of, I think it was the fall race here. Harrison Burton is in the 24 car, Dean Thompson in the 26, Dean Thompson a little longer, but I can trust Harrison Burton more. I think he can get the most drive out of that car and just has that experience. What he's got, six races here. I really like Harrison Burton for plus 250 for a top 10. It's going to be sweaty because of the pit crews and where he's going to be driving with guys. And then when we go five wide on restarts, you're going to have to keep an eye out for him. I don't think he's going to be a contender to win the race because of the heavy hitters like Justin Allgaier, William Byron, so on and so forth. But being on the back half of that top 10, just outside of the top 10, and we get a little squirrely near the end if he doesn't have necessarily the speed, I feel like he can still kind of sneak in there. And at plus 250, first race we're getting top 10s for the O'Reilly series, I can trust me some Harrison Burton at times. The next bet is William Sawalich, top 10 at plus 100 at the score. William Sawalich, outside the top 10, both 13 place finishes in the Joe Gibbs car. So he's had two runs here. What happened to him in the fall? What the hell? Did he not race here in the fall? He was full time, was he not? I can't remember what happened to him. It just shows here that he's got two starts. His first ever start here in the number 19 Joe Gibbs car. He started on the pole. Obviously, throughout the race and attrition and learning and everything like that, he finished 13th. Now, that's just outside the top 10. We've got his second full-time season this year. If I'm not mistaken, he did run full-time, right? Like, am I just going crazy here? I don't understand why he didn't run in the fall. I can't remember why. And then when I was talking about qualifying and guys you want to get in on early and getting those odds, is because William Sawalich qualifies really well here. His second race here, he qualified sixth, finished 13th again, but it's that qualifying effort that's going to drop and make this minus money for a top 10 for William Sawalich. This is a prove it year for William Sawalich. There's a lot of guys coming up through the pipeline in Toyota. Also like late model guys in the truck series. Guys probably going to be bouncing around from either Cup Series and so on and so forth. There are other teams in the O'Reilly Series looking for a Joe Gibbs car. And, you know, Brent Cruz is going to want a full-time ride and so on and so forth. So this number 18 car might be up for grabs, and I think it will be up for grabs after this year. So William Sawalich started off with a good run on a regular cookie-cutter oval and get it done inside the top 10, man. You're qualifying really well. Joe Gibbs brings a hell of a lot of speed. This will be your third time here. I feel like it's time to pop inside that top 10, and I feel like he's able to do it. We've seen it here and there. It's just getting those good finishes, putting together a solid race, minding your P's and Q's, don't overdrive the car, Corey Day, and just get that top 10 finish. I really do like those top 10 plays, especially this William Sawalich one. I'm going to bet half decently heavy on William Sawalich for a top 10 this weekend. I do feel pretty good about that. If not, we're going to be very heartbroken. But we've got two more bets here. One, they're both on one driver. And I think you guys might like this one. Their cars are now Hendrick cars, Hendrick-built cars. And that's the Haas Factory team. Now, Sam Mayer, not really the best record here. Hasn't really been able to figure it out. Crashes out, so on and so forth. But the guy that I'm going to talk about that got his monkey off his back at Atlanta, Sheldon friggin' Creed. All right. He's got, what's his record here? Because I got it pulled up, but I want to read this off. He's got 9 races, 7 top tens here in the fall or in the spring of last year. We obviously saw Austin Hill make a stupid ass move and then hit the inside wall and bounce up and take Sheldon Creed out super early on in the race. Really upsetting. That double zero has been really good here in a Ford with Cole Custer. And then Sheldon Creed, now Hendrick Cars and Chevrolets have been really good here. You see Jesse Love, you see Austin Hill, you see Justin Allgaier, you see William Byron this weekend. Sheldon Creed, 7 top tens and 3 top fives. And we're getting Sheldon Creed at plus 220 on Bet365. That's the best number you're going to be able to get out there. I think he's going to qualify really well. He's going out late in qualifying. I think he might even be able to put it on the pole. He's going to be really going after Justin Allgaier. I think we're going to be all going for him on this one. But I think he's going to be inside that top five for qualifying. And with his record and him just winning, that top five line is going to get real short. So I would trust Sheldon Creed here. Last year in the fall, he got an 8th place, 36th, obviously, because of that early wreck. 7th, 3rd, 2nd, 3rd, 6th, and then his first 2 starts, 14th and 10th. And in a BJ McLeod car in 2021, he finished 10th place in a BJ McLeod car. He likes this track, okay? You see how fast Hendrick Cars and Chevrolets can be here. You've seen how fast Sheldon Creed can be in a Chevrolet in the number 2. And obviously that number 2, dude, is just really fast here. I take obviously a lot of driver skill, but whatever they've got that set up for that number 2 has been good with Creed in it and Jesse Love. So he was good in a Chevrolet. He was good in a Toyota. And without that spring shitty finish, he started 2nd. His qualifying efforts here have been also crazy too. 3rd from starting from the fall and working our way backwards after a few years. 3rd, 2nd, 2nd, 6th, 5th, 5th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. So even in a BJ McLeod car, he qualified inside the top 10. So Sheldon Creed's lines are going to get shorter. All right. He's going to be able to do this. I think this is a guy that he's got that monkey off his back. He can relax a little, just put a good race together. And it feels like once you get that first one, a few more start trickling in, right? So we're going to be on him a lot, I think, this year now that that has happened. We got Darlington in a few weeks. He's going to be really, really good at as well. So keep an eye out on that. But yeah, I like him at plus 220 for a top five, as well as an outright at plus 1400 on the score is the best number we can get. I like this for Sheldon Creed. It's a sprinkle play. I feel really good about this O'Reilly Series betting card this weekend. We're going to wait and see. I really don't want to add too much super early on in this season as well. I want to see where everybody's at, see where everybody's speed is. And then the next time we come here to Phoenix or the Vegas or whatever, second time we go to Bristol, we'll be able to maybe bet a little heavier on this guy because we saw him in the spring. He should be good in the fall, right? Or in the summertime, whenever we come back again. So I like those. O'Reilly Series, Harrison Burton plus 250 on the score for a top 10, as well as William Sawalic a plus 100 on the same book for a top 10. Sheldon Creed plus 220 on Bet365 for a top 5. And then Sheldon Creed on the score at 14-1 for the win. Okay. And then the Cup Series bets, lots going on. Okay. Lots going on in this. Just going to pull up the qualifying efforts here. All right. Some notable guys going out super early on, I would say, is probably like a Josevar, and that's really it. Heavy hitters out at the end, you know. I'll say this. Denny Hamlin, I honestly don't really expect much out of Brad Keselowski this year for a while, but Denny Hamlin going out 25th, then it's Byron, Logano, Bell, Larson, the Dinger, Bubba Wallace, Ty Gibbs, Ryan Blaney, Michael McDowell. Not really expecting much. Chase Elliott, SVG, and Tyler Reddick. I honestly think Chase Elliott's going to be qualifying really up front, dude. like really close up front. And my first bet of the weekend is Chase Elliott at plus 100 for a top 10 on Bet365. Chase Elliott here. What can I say? 19 starts, 11 top 10s, 5 top 5s, and a win. And I think the win was the championship year, if I'm not mistaken. But really good here recently. Just good. I wouldn't say really good, and it's not fantastic, but it's good enough. What he does is he'll just get a top 10 finish. And that's what he needs to do, and definitely this year. If he knows super early on and he doesn't have a race-winning car, he's going to be able to hold this car inside the top 10, get a lot of points throughout the day. He wants to be able to go win that championship at the end of the year and just do not get a DNF. So in the next-gen car, starting last fall, 10th, 10th, right there, boom, that's top 10, baby. That's plus 100. That cashes. 8th, 19th, 16th, 28th, and then 11th. A lot of the numbers, I will say, is from before the Gen 7 car. But the last three starts here have just been solid, like, okay kind of days, just clicking off top 10, and that's that. That's why I like the plus 100. He's usually fairly consistent with what he does on tracks that he's been good at, right? We saw it at Coda last week, was solid all day. Just kind of ran around inside the top 10, did his thing, got a top 10 finish. We said that Chase Elliott wasn't going to probably have race-winning speed, but he was just going to be chilling inside the top 10. I still think this is the same thing here, and we're going to wait and see. Maybe he's got a lot of speed in practice. We see something that the odds makers don't, and you go and bet on Chase Elliott outright to win. I've got a different outright. I feel like a lot of people might be on because of the number. So I do like Chase Elliott at plus 100 and Bet365. I think that's moved to minus 120. I'd still take it. The first early on bet, and this is definitely moved because a lot of the books had him at minus 160, minus 170. Plus 170, plus 160. I got Joey Logano at plus 250 on Bet365. And what do I need to say about Joey Logano for a top five? Joey Logano here at Phoenix. He's won two championships here. He's won here, how many times? Racing Reference, let's low, baby. Phoenix, he's won four times. 34 starts, 18 top 10s, 10 top 5s, and 4 wins. Twice to win the championship, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 3-10? Be 3 times to win the championship, correct? Yes? No? Yes? I can't remember. At least 2, all right, at Phoenix. And, yeah, you know, Joey Logano, 14-1 was a lot of the numbers you could get super early on for him to win the race as well. Ryan Blaney is going to be really good. Christopher Bell is going to be really good. You could see a Chase Briscoe come out and be. William Byron could be really good. But Joey Logano, the fall race hasn't always been, like, his best time. You know, 13th last fall. But he did start second and then got a violation right off the green flag from diving underneath the yellow line too early on. And then he had to work his way throughout the race to get back up and finish 13th. So there's that. So he finished 4th, 13th, 1st to win the championship in 2024. And then it was 34th, 18th, 11th. That's when they really didn't have a lot of speed. And this is the thing why I've kind of chilled, haven't taken a lot of bets this race, and just wait and see for practice and look at the lap times. Some guys might end up shocking you, and you might be able to get a little bit of a longer number on like a top 10 for somebody that like all of a sudden just like is not usually the best, and they kind of figured out something with this new horsepower package. So it'll be really interesting. I do like the Joey Logano top five at the number that it's at and how where he's out going out qualifying and where he's qualified in the past. In this Gen 7 car, as well as Gen 6. And he's really good here. I don't really need to say any sort of explanation on Joey Logano. We all know that he can do it here. And so I think for the rest of the betting card, you just have to pay attention to the Action Network, pay attention to my social medias, Eric Furlong 21 on Instagram, and then at Furlong Eric _ on Twitter and TikTok. I'll come out with a video on Sunday morning with my full betting card. It'll be on like an Instagram reel, a Twitter reel. And but if you pay attention to the Action Network, that'll be where the bets are. So link is in the bio. Obviously, for the O'Reilly series, remember, the full betting card will be available an hour and a half before the race, like always. Go leave a 5-star rating on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a review. Leave a great review. I would really do appreciate that. Leave a like, share, subscribe to the podcast on Hot Pass Podcast on YouTube. Link is in the bio for the Action Network. Yeah, baby. Going to the show tomorrow. Saturday, I'm going to work. Sunday, we're going to watch a race. Go visit my little niece, Nora. And then we're back at it again for another full week of work. We'll be back on Tuesday for you guys. And then the week after that, I'll be flying down on the 19th to go down to North Carolina. And I'll be down at Darlington from the 19th to, I think, I fly back to Canada on the 22nd. All right. So if you guys are going to be in Darlington, South Carolina, at the Lady in Black for the, I call it still the throwback weekend, hit me up Saturday. I should be at the track all by myself all day. My buddy Jared's got something to film, if I'm not mistaken, at a go-kart track in North Carolina. So I'll be down at the track by myself. If you guys have any spots like vintage shops or anything like that, or old diecast shops that I should hit up, or your favorite food spots, let me know when I'm down there. Hopefully I'll see you guys there. So let's cash a bag at Phoenix out west. And we'll talk to you guys next week about the recap of the betting, as well as everything that happened in the race. I feel like it's going to be a good one. It's going to be nice to be back on a cookie cutter oval. And then we'll be at Vegas, where it'll be Larson and Reddick probably just fucking battling the whole race. All right. Talk to you guys later. We'll see you on Tuesday.